Yeah, we have one other topic to cover, which Ed brought up because of his experience in some of the independent churches. And he can tell you some horror stories that have gone on there, difficulties with it. And also, I got an email from someone in Mexico that said, there are a lot of women preachers down here. Should women be preachers? Is that correct? There are a lot of women preachers down here?
Well, in Tijuana, in the northern part of Mexico, next to California. And at least that's where they go, these people.
Yeah. Yeah, so I sent the email on to Gil for him to take care of and answer what was going on there. But there are a lot of women preachers. There's even one woman pastor. Isn't she in Fort Worth? She in Fort Worth? Okay, well, I heard some of them were leading songs.
Give, Church of God?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Church of God.
Yeah. Okay, Dallas Church of God. I thought Texas was where all the he-men were. What are they doing with the woman? What are they doing with the woman pastor? In the Church of God. That's been for a number of years, hasn't it?
About 10 years.
Doing the whole thing. Okay. Well, this happened to be a church where they keep the Sabbath and holy days and all of that sort of thing. Let's go to Revelation, the second chapter, because we encounter a woman there, don't we? Okay. Revelation, the second chapter. Now, I don't know the name of this woman in Dallas, so I'm not equating her with this section of Scripture. However, it does talk about it, okay? And the first thing he starts out, let's see what he says to it. Verse 18, the church in Thyatira. Now, if you haven't seen the Israel of the Alps, that's a good one to see. You can call the office and write for it. We'll send you the DVD, okay? It's actually put out by the Seventh-day Adventist, and I think it's interesting that they associate themselves with the Israel of the Alps, okay, with the churches of God who fled Asia Minor in 325 A.D. and went into the Alps, and they were there for 1,260 years, okay? Now, they had different, some of them had the Old Latin translation, which was more akin to the Greek than Jerome. Some of them only had the book of John. But they did their evangelical work because it says go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, they had to go into the Catholic world. Okay. Now, what happened was this. There was the churches of God out of England, the Welsh and the Scots, and they came down into Northern Europe, and these went up into Southern Europe. Okay, so the gospel was being preached. Of course, eventually the Catholics got them all. Okay. But what they would do, since it was illegal to be a preacher other than a Catholic priest, they would go out as merchant and businessmen. And they would have things that they would sell. And they would visit with their clientele, and after they had sold their goods, they said, well, we have something that is more valuable than what we sold you that we will give you. So they gave them some written out scriptures. And this way, then, they weren't preaching. See? Now, also, at first, they really resisted the Pope and the Mass and all of these things, but after a while, they gave in to the Catholic Church, so they could survive, and then they were left to their own devices. And when the Catholics sent their soldiers up into the Alps to get them, instead of trusting on God, they trusted on their own tactics, and they killed a lot of the Italian soldiers and things that were sent up to get them. But finally, because they weren't trusting in God, they were overwhelmed. Those that were alive, they put them in prison, and by, I think it was 16, I forget the exact year, that the Pope persuaded the King of France, I forget which king it was, that all of his sins would be absolved if he would not only get rid of the Huguenots, but if he would get rid of those Christians up in the Alps. So they hauled him into prison, put him in dungeons and things like that, and after a number of years, the survivors were let go to go free in the middle of the winter to walk over the Alps, and they finally hooked up with the Protestants in Geneva. And there were very few that made it. And when they got there, they were very surprised that the Sunday-keeping Protestants in Geneva had the whole Bible, and they had translated and so forth. So that shows you how isolated they were. But let's pick it up here with verse 18. Now to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and feet are like fine brass. I know your works and love, and your service and faith, and your endurance and your works. So he mentions the works twice. And the last are more than the first. So I don't know if this carries through today with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I can't say it dogmatically, but many of the things fit. Okay? But I have a few things against you because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. So the first thing they had a woman teacher to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. Very interesting, isn't it? Now how all that fits in, one of these days we'll have a perfect view of all the history and we will know. Now, there are times when I have equated this to Ellen G. White as a modern end to this, but this is definitely referring to the Catholic Church because Jezebel was the daughter of the priest of Baal, which was sun worship, and of course the Catholic Church is sun worship. See, so that's the best you can do. You can't lay right in and say that is exactly it. Well, what about in the churches of God? All right, let's come to Romans 15. Let's see something, Romans 16 rather. Let's see something here that's important. And so, too many people, and women in particularly, think that God is picking on women. And when they only read certain scriptures, they can certainly give that impression. Especially when they read that Eve was deceived and was in sin. And they don't read Romans 5:12 that sin entered into the world because of one man, Adam. See, Eve was deceived, but that tells us Adam was not. So that also tells us something else too, doesn't it? Right, here in Romans 16 and verse 1, Paul writes, now I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant. Now servant here comes from the Greek diakonos or deaconi, which then is a deaconess of the church in Cenchrea, charging you to receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of saints and to assist her in whatever she may need from you, because she also has been of great assistance to many, including myself. Then he says, salute Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers, husband and wife. They're pretty prominent in the book of Acts. See? So God does not put down women. It just is there. We all have different functions and different roles. That's all. So we need to all understand this. Let me ask you a question. Are we all under authority? Yes, everyone. We're all under the authority of God the Father and Jesus Christ, first of all. Okay? When we're out about in a society, are we under the authority of the law of the land? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And in that case, there are even women who are in positions of authority over men. But that's not in the church. See? I had one woman who was a very good nurse, top nurse, a head nurse, and she had male nurses that worked for her. She came into the church and she said, well, what should I do? I'm over men. And, my employer put me over them because I'm trained more than they are and I know more than they do, so I have to teach them and help them. Do I have to quit my job? So I told her, I said, well, is the hospital the church? She said, no. I said, well, there's your answer. That doesn't have anything to do with the church or the Word of God. Now, we also know that in the days of Josiah, the men were so weak and too many of them turned their back on God that the only one left to find a message from God was to what? Go to Huldah the prophetess, correct? And so she gave a message from God to men. Well, she didn't take over the king's throne, did she? No. But did the king recognize what she said, that it was a message from God, and really continue to repent and bring a revival to Judah? Yes. Then we have in the days of Barak, now, he was so weak that when God said, go up and fight, Deborah said, go up and fight. And he says, I'm not going to do it unless you go with me. She said, go up and fight. I'm not going to do it unless you go with me. She says, okay, I will go, but it's a woman's victory. Now, she didn't get out there with the sword, but she went with him. Okay? And then there are other instances concerning women in the Bible, both good and evil. So the question becomes, what about within the family relationship and within the church, because we can't control the world? Has anybody here been stopped by a woman highway patrol? Ben? Okay. Yeah, well, that was pretty fair. She stopped you and said, now you were speeding and you don't have a seat belt. Now, she gave you a choice. Which one do you want me to charge you with?
She probably wasn't speeding. Supposed to do that.
No.
But she did. It was
yes.
Me and her, so they know witnesses.
Yes. She was a good girl. Okay. Well, I've never been stopped by a woman's highway patrol yet, but that's interesting. I better be still and make sure that I'm careful, because I may be, It just like when you're listening or watching a sports game and one of the commentators said, well, this guy's never done that for so long, Next time you see him, he's committed an error or done something, So I better be careful by saying I've never been stopped by a woman highway patrol yet, because I may encounter one here very soon. And if I do, I won't tell you. Okay. So here we find that God uses women. And actually, when you go back and you look at the creation, you see, What was the last thing that God created?
Eve.
And so that puts women in a special relationship with God as well. See? And contrary to some of the ideas of men, Mary was blameless. She bore Jesus. And a question has come up, and I don't know how to answer it, but I'll pose the question and ring the bell and go on, which is, since Jesus received his human nature through the genes and chromosomes of Mary, and he never sinned, yet he carried human nature, and the question becomes, how does God use our genes and chromosomes when we're resurrected? Okay? We don't know. But when Jesus was resurrected, they recognized him, correct? Even though he appeared as flesh and bone, remember, it didn't say flesh and blood. So he appeared, meaning that he could transform himself in the various stages of a spirit being. Okay. He also appeared to them in glory. So the question was posed, when Jesus was resurrected, did God use the same genes that he put into Mary from the Father and also from Mary into Jesus? And will those genes and chromosomes that came from Mary always be in a spiritual form, however God uses them, for all eternity? And my answer was, I don't know. See? But nevertheless, women are special to God, and they participate directly in the creation of human beings in a very special way that's different from a man. Now, men, in their genes and chromosomes, they have what is called the Y chromosome. And that determines that when the unites with the egg from the mother, that that child is going to be a male or a boy. And the men also have an X chromosome. And when that unites with the egg of the mother, who only have, and women only have, X chromosomes. Then when that unites with the egg of the mother, there's a girl. Okay? Now, let's also understand something else. Who was the creator of Adam and Eve? The one who became Jesus Christ. Isn't that correct? Yes. Since he made man and woman, he alone can be savior of men and women. And when he came to the earth in the flesh, in order to be a male, he had to have the Y chromosome from God the Father and the X chromosome from Mary. So you see, no other woman has had that blessing. So we need to understand it. Women are special. Women have things that they can do that men can't do. Men have things that they can do that women can't do. And that's why God says when there's marriage, we're to become one flesh. All right, now let's look at some scriptures here and let's see some of the things concerning what we just discussed. Let's come to Romans, the fifth chapter, first of all. Romans 5. Now, some of these things I've just discussed, we can put in the realm of, I'll ring my bell again here. We don't know. It's interesting, but don't make a doctrine over it. Things that are interesting that you can't answer, you look at it, you think about it, you pray about it, and if God wants you to have the answer in time, you'll find it. And if not, you won't. Okay, Romans 5, and let's come here to verse 12. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by means of sin came death, in this way death passed into all mankind, and for this reason, it is for this reason that all have sinned. It's inherited. Men sin, women sin, and so forth. Now, what was the sin of Adam? Well, he disobeyed God, didn't he? Yes, he did. Let's go back there and read it. Which then poses another question. Had he done what he was supposed to have done, he wouldn't have allowed Eve to do what she did. Okay? Now, after God made Eve, okay, let's come here to chapter 2 for just a minute. All right. Okay, verse 18, chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper compatible for him. Okay? And we'll find this verified when we get to 1 Corinthians 11. Now in the margin, we have what the most, who is considered the most qualified expert in Hebrew on this. So we have in the margin, a counterpart, a sustainer beside him. That's interesting, isn't it? Not in front of him, not behind him, but beside him. And God gave to women certain things in the way of how he created them that only they can do these things. Okay, so the whole situation of the sin, it says there, in we'll read a little later, that Eve was deceived and was in transgression. But we just read that by one man sin entered into the world. So they both sinned. All right. So let's look and see what happened here when God detailed out the results of their sin. This was his judgment and sentence. Okay. So they, after they had eaten of the tree they shouldn't have eaten of, they hid themselves, okay, from the presence of God. And where are you going to go hide from God? See? So the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Of course he knew where he was, but he wanted to get an answer from Adam. And one atheist wrote, well, how can God be God if he didn't know where Adam was and had to call for him? See? Well, he knew. And he said, I heard you walking in the garden and I was afraid because I'm naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? And the man said, God, it's your fault. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. I don't think that's what he said when, after Adam awoke from his deep sleep and God led Eve by the hand and said, Adam, here's your wife. I think he had other words to say about that at that time. Okay. So he said to woman, so God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Yeah, but you see, Adam watched her do it. Because you read it, and gave to her husband with her. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock, above every animal of the field. You shall go upon your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And that's why you find legless snakes. Then he talks about the enmity we would put between them and prophecy of the coming Savior. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children. That doesn't just merely mean the pain of delivery. That means also, after Cain killed Abel, she suffered the emotional trauma in a different way than Adam did. Okay? In sorrow. Isn't that true? All of you have children? Have your kids done things that you don't approve of? And who lies awake at night and worries about it? Mama. Isn't that correct? Lose sleep. Yes. Mama. Worries about things, even when the kids are grown up. Mama. See? Papa, in a different way. And if she talks to Papa, and he says, Mama, don't worry, it's going to work out. But she has a nurturing and caring nature to where she wants to help comfort her children all the time and doesn't like to see them in difficulties and pain and sorrow. Isn't that correct? Okay. Men do not have that kind of emotional makeup. So men say to women, you don't understand. And women say back to men, you don't have any feelings, you don't understand. You know, okay. Now, I'm repeating this from my own experience. Okay. Okay. And your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, that has never changed. Now, the word there does not mean to be a barbarian, you know, like with a Capital One credit card, the barbarians and their axes and their mallets and all of this sort of thing, dragging the women with one hand and, you know, doesn't mean that at all. So the men are responsible for the women. God made it that way. Now, when they had... This may help us understand why there was polygamy in the Old Testament. Just a little sidebar here. Again, I'll ring my cowbell. Because lecherous men read that and say, oh, I wished it was like in the old days in the Bible, I could have many wives. Okay? Well, Solomon tried 1,000 and 300, and look how that turned out. Okay? And the women say, oh, you lecherous men, say, you know. But who were the ones that went to war? The men. And you read the battles. Thousands died. That means there were thousands of widows. Can they plow? Can they drive oxen? Can they defend? Can they fight? Well, maybe if you come across some Amazons every once in a while, maybe they could, you know, see. Or like in the modern age where the Russians gave steroids to all of their female athletes, you know, and they really looked really beefed up. Okay. So what did God do? God had men take care of the women. And they could bring forth children because after you kill off so many men, how are you going to balance out the population? See? So that's a different set of circumstances than we have today. However, I think when we begin the millennium, maybe something like that will also be in effect because how many men are going to be killed? See? So that's not God giving his blessing to polygamy, that is God having men take care of women because they can't fend for themselves, and God didn't mean for them to fend for themselves, and that they could bear children, and they would provide for the women, and the women would take care of the children and take care of the household. Now, I don't know how the arguments went on if it was a crowded household. I don't know how that worked. And I don't want to get in the middle of that because that might be like entering into a cat fight. Okay? All right, now notice Adam's sin. And this has been the sin of men all along. And this is why women's lip movements come along. And this is why when men do not do what they're supposed to do, and after a period of time, women see what men are supposed to do and don't do it, like in today's society, they take the initiative and do it. So men come along and say, well, you women shouldn't be doing that. And women say, well, you didn't take the initiative to do it, so I had to do it. You know, it's like Moses and circumcision of his son. What did his wife say after she circumcised him? You're a bloody husband to me. You should have taken care of that before even Moses had his weakness. Okay? Now notice what the weakness is. Even though our wives are to give us counsel and to give us understanding and things like that to stand beside us and sustain us, we love our wives love us, we have our rough spots and things during life because that's just the way it is. That helps build character and love and understanding, you see. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands if they have never had an argument in their family, never had a dispute between husband and wife, never had a problem of siding with children and, you know, a divided family like that, because all go through it because that's the carnality of human beings. Isn't that true? Yes. All right. So here's Adam's sin. Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife instead of God. See? That's the meaning of it. God said what? Don't eat of the tree. To the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is cursed for your sake, and sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. It shall also bring forth thorns and thistles to you, and thus shall you eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And no one has stopped that except Christ. Okay? Now, are there the societies that oppress women? Yes. And actually, there's a small tribe in China where the women rule over the men, all of them. And they suppress the men. Very rare. I was surprised when I saw it. I didn't think, you know, you would have anything like that in China of all places. But, you know, you look at China and some of those valleys in the mountains, they can be very remote. So this was one of those remote valleys. But also there's another thing that's we need to take into account too. That God holds the man responsible. Okay? He does. Now let's see a prophecy of what happens here at the end time when women have taken over. Now with all of the, let's come to Isaiah the 3rd chapter. When all of the electrical and, how shall we say, mechanical slaves that we have today to do work for us, women do things quicker and they have liberty to do other things. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Because we will see that God has given brains. Yes, women can think. And sometimes they see a lot of things that men don't see, because God gave women the nature to feel emotions and circumstances that men don't. See? And so they will feel things and sense things and try and warn their husbands. And if they listen and it's true, it's probably good advice. See? Lots of times we don't. And then what do we hear a little later? I told you so. Right? Okay. Okay. Now, let's begin right here in verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Isaiah 3, verse 2 now. The man of might, the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable man and the advisor, the cunning charmer and the skillful enchanter. We could put that in modern day language today. Verse 4, and I will give lads to be their princes, and capricious children shall rule over them. Do we have that? Yes. Now, what is that? That is a failure of fathers and mothers. Isn't it interesting when you read about a king who does thus and such when he's really evil, and his mother was so-and-so. Remember that? See? Because she didn't train him properly. Okay? Verse 5, and the people shall be crushed, every man by another, and every man by his neighbor. The young shall rise up against the old, and the base against the honorable. And so, that's exactly the society we have today. All right. Now let's come down here and pick it up in verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, more so than ever before. And women rule over them. You watch the ads. Look at the ads on television. Who is always the one who knows more and is smarter and has the answer, but the smart woman and the dumb man. Right? And there are a lot of them that way. There are a lot of men who just give up to their wives and surrender and just follow along. Well, that's not a good situation. What does that do to the women? That emboldens them even more. And they really don't like it, so then they have more contempt for their husbands, and the husbands withdraw more, etc. I'm sure you've all seen that. You know, Blondie Dagwood thing, you know. Okay. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. And so now what do we have? We have all kinds of sin legislated into the law because of the diverse society that we have. Okay? So, out in the world, that's the way that it is. In the church, when we come out of the world, what do you have to do? Well, if you're a man and you've been giving in to your wife all the time, let her rule the roost and, you know, run the whole show, then you've got a lot of things you need to do to unlearn so that you take over your proper place that God put you as the head of the household. See? Now, I don't know how much you can do when you've let it go on for years and years and years. So you have to make that decision as you go along. See? And if women who come into the church, they have to take less of a lead, then you'd need to figure out what you need to do. Okay? Now let's come to the New Testament and let's see what God has to say here concerning women. All right, let's first of all come to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. Go way to the back of the Bible just before Revelation and we'll get to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Okay? 1 Timothy 2. All right. Now, he covers quite a good ground here. Okay. Now, let's pick it up in verse 8. Therefore, I desire that men everywhere pray lifting up holy hands without anger or evil opinions. In other words, you pray with a pure heart to God. Now, I don't know how long you can hold your hands up, but, you know, I don't think God expects us to get a prop like they did with Moses, and every time we pray, hold up our hands like this, see. But nevertheless, that would be one thing in reaching out to God. In like manner also, let the women adorn themselves with clothing that shows modesty and discretion. Boy, would you have a fight on your hand with most women today? You know, they have plunging necklines clear down to the belly button, you know, and no. Not with elaborate braidings of the hair, or with gold or pearls, or expensive apparel. In other words, don't make clothing the whole thing of your life. And that is a tendency of women, right? Who puts out all the fashion magazines? For women. Not true? Yes. So God says, that's the vanity of women. See? Have a godly appearance, dress well, do good. If you have some jewelry, fine. You know, don't get carried away. You know, I saw one woman one time, she had 3 rings on every finger. And I looked at that and I said, oh my, you have a lot of rings. She says, yes, I love them all. Zip. Okay. See? But that which is fitting for women who profess to have reverence for God with good works. Let a woman learn in all quietness. That means not in talking back rebellion. Okay? That does not mean that you do not speak. That does not mean that you do not have discussions. That just means that you're not there with a loud mouth. And be submissive in every respect. Now, because of that, now I want to give a warning to all men. Just because your wives submit themselves to you, that does not give you the heavy hand of authority to oppress her. That is to keep leadership within the family from God. That's what that is for. You're to be kind, you're to be considerate, you're to be understanding, and you're to love your wife, and you're to take care of her. And I can tell you this, the woman is the weaker vessel. I don't care how strong you feel, because I can attest to you, of all the requests for anointed cloths that I send out, it goes 9 or 10 to 1 women requesting anointings. On the average. Now that doesn't mean men are more healthy. But it's also reflective of the emotional makeup of women, that not only being the weaker vessel, but also the more emotional vessel, that they can come down with sicknesses and illnesses because they are so wrapped up in worry and anxiety. And women tend to be very unforgiving of one another. And all of the things that we've covered about anxiety and things like this, women have it more than men, and so they come down with more sickness. See? What happens when you worry yourself sick to death? It's an interesting way to put it. And and you lie awake at night and you can't sleep, and lie awake at night and can't sleep, and say you have 4 or 5 children and you wonder where this one is and what he's doing, where that one is and what they're doing, and you've been worried about them ever since they were able to walk, and where are they, where are they going? And then they get a little older, and where are their friends, and who are their parents, and where are they? And then they get in trouble, and then, oh my, that's a terrible situation. Then they grow up, like I told one man, I said, when you have children and they're firstborn, it costs you just pennies. They get a little older, it costs you dollars. They get a little older, cost you dollars in increments of 5. They get a little older, dollars increments of 10, and when they're grown up, it's dollars in increments of hundreds and maybe thousands of dollars for your children. Is that right? Yes. Okay. So men have that worry about it, but women worry, how are they? What's happening? Are they well? Are they warm? Do they have enough food? Who are their friends? Oh, I wish I wouldn't date that person. Oh, I wish I wouldn't go out with that person, you know. Oh, my, did you see that girlfriend that my Johnny has? Ooh, I wouldn't get caught dead in those clothes. Boy, I hope nothing happens in the car, you know. See? And so you worry at night and you hope, well, whatever the name of your daughter is, I don't want to use the name lest someone think I'm picking on them. I don't want to have her come to me and say, Mom, guess what? Oh, no. Are you really? No, I just lost my purse. Okay. Now, verse 12 says it all. I do not permit a woman to teach. Now, this has to be in church, in an assembly. Later it says that the older women are to teach the younger women how to be proper wives, how to take care of the family, how to take care of children. You are to be a walking encyclopedia of what to eat, what to drink, what happens when there's no breast milk. What do you do? How do you help your children? You have to be a walking encyclopedia on how do you help in childbirth. You know, men, when it comes time for children to be born, we're worthless. And you're lying there, you know, breathe. You know, we've had all of our children at home, so I know what it's like. But you know what I did? I walked back and forth. You know, and Dolores says, what are you doing walking back and forth? I'm doing all the work. You know, and then she would groan and moan, and I would hurt, you know, and, oh, my back hurts, and then, oh, yeah, my back hurts too, you know. See. But women are to be experts in those things. Just think how much healthier our children would be if they were. See? Isn't that much better, helping children grow up to be healthy, happy, and have good minds to be educated, than to turning them over to a babysitter to feed them the soy powdered milk so they destroy their lives to begin with in their health, and you run off to a glorious job as a secretary someplace, huh? Or as I see it, and I feel sorry about it all the time, I see some of these women who are mail carriers out there trudging, you know, the one who delivers the mail where our office is. She's walking through the building, and I've often thought when I've seen her doing that, and there are days when she really looks down, and it's hard to do, and I thought, wonder if she would be happier if she were home taking care of the house and the family, see? Well, today, Satan has got that all turned around, that today the mortgage payments are so high that most women have to work just to get along, see? And a perfect setting to also cause women to get more sick because now they're more worried because they're off doing a job someplace and where are their children and what's going on in school and what's going to happen when they get home from school. They get home at 3 and I don't get home to 6. Uh-oh. See, all of those things. Isn't that right? Am I wrong? See? Yeah, it happens. Okay. Let's take a break. We're a little over time here.